Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are still honoring our fathers this month. It is Father's Day coming up on Sunday and Juneteenth also. But we're talking about dads today again. And just kind of was picked up on something interesting in the midst of the pandemic that there's something new that's being considered sexy, and it's called the dad bod. And we want, you know, I mean, we've heard about dad bods and everything else. So, but we wanted to talk a little bit about exactly what a dad bod is, if that's a good thing to have a dad bod, and why it's attractive. And so we are privileged to welcome back to the show Marion Traynor. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Hello. Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good morning. Great. Wonderful. Thank you for coming back, and especially dealing with this topic. So in your opinion, what is a dad bod, or is there such a thing?
Well, in the world that I'm in and that I know by definition, is usually people who they work out, but they don't have the ideal body that society thinks they have. It's not bad, but they don't have the ideal body that most people are thinking about with six packs. They work out and they still get their pizzas and burgers.
I can understand that. You got to actually work a little extra hard to keep those pizzas and burgers in check in terms of how they process through your body. Why do you think they're saying that dad bods are attractive right now?
Well, I mean, we are living in a society where, you know, body shaming is a thing. So instead of body shaming, we're actually now celebrating because it's more of the majority than it is the minority.
So let me ask you this, while we're embracing and celebrating. And, yeah, I mean, because we've kind of gone from one extreme, it looks like almost to the other, where, you know, you had to have those abs tight. You had to have those muscles taut, you know, and all of that. You know, you had to be – I guess a great walking and talking clothes hanger, so to speak. What I want to know is it healthy to have a so-called dad bod?
Now, most of the time when people are thinking about dad bod, they're thinking about, you know, the tummy. Over a long period, it just depends, because the more stress or the bigger the tummy, the more health problems you may have down the road. So because it's really not a negative nor the best positive, but it just depends on, because it has so many different meanings. And I went and read about it, and it's, some people will say a dad bod is somebody with a good sense of humor, down to earth mentality, and a healthy respect for work life balance. And then if you ask people from the body perspective, it's like, well, it's usually a dad who has a little tummy. He may or may not go to the gym, but what little exercise he does get, he basically nullifies it when he goes to eat the burger and pizza.
Okay, so if you like the dad bod type, I mean, because I have to tell you it's not necessarily for me personally that I like the dad bod type, but I also didn't like the extreme. I didn't like the really, really hard, almost abnormal looking male physique, because it just, there was something that just looked a little bit unnatural about it. I just think also at the same time, the dad bod is a little unnatural because it's in a way showing some of the negatives that we put on our bodies, in terms of, like you said, how we eat, maybe a little bit too many burgers, or what types of burgers, or what other things that we're, getting into rib season as well. To me, in a way, it just shows that lack of exercise and just lack of a balanced diet, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's pretty much most don't exercise, because they'll say, I have work, I have the kids, I have a wife, and I have things to do around the house. So at some point, as the years go by, you sort of kind of let yourself go. You're not the worst, but you're not the best either. And that's usually when the health conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure kind of sets in. And then you'll, like me, if I run into the so-called dad bods, they're like, oh, I need to get in shape. I need a plan.
Would there be, how for women there are a lot of hormonal things that are involved in the changes that allow for extra, fat, especially like you were talking about around the midsection. Do men go through some of the same type of hormonal changes that you know?
Yeah, for men it's called andropause. And it's basically your body's gone from producing as much testosterone to producing more estrogen. Which, the thing people hear is you get the tummy, you get the man boobs, you're a little more emotional, a little cranky, and the term for it is andropause. Like, women have menopause, men have andropause. They just don't recognize it as much now.
Okay, so is it like a fear of admission that this is happening, or what is it exactly that, how do you address that?
I'm a man. I'm not going to talk to anybody about that and tell them I'm feeling less manly.
I mean, to no one? I mean, you wouldn't talk to your doctor? You wouldn't talk to anyone about it?
Usually it's probably going to be the wife that goes with you to the doctor and mention it.
Okay. All right. So the wife mentioning it to the husband, not going to do anything. Wife mentioning it to the doctor might help.
She'll go to the appointment so she spreads light on it. Well, he's not feeling his best, he just seems a little more cranky than other times. And now, in these days and times, usually most people are going to hormone clinics.
Oh, okay.
Because it can get it can get real bad for men not recognizing that if you have low testosterone levels or you can't seem to shake losing the weight, you're going to the gym, you're getting very frustrated. And that's, you need your hormones checked. We always talk about it when it comes to women, and they still don't get as much attention as they should, but it's more known.
Mm-hmm.
But with men, it's like, you're getting older. And that's not true.
Yeah, just in general, you're getting older, but not, okay, you're getting older, but these are the things, these are the changes that are occurring as you're aging, and that there is a possibility that you can do certain things. And I guess I kind of understand it being a woman, because you do, and I think the pressure is so much more on women, and I think also too, though, because in most cases women are so much more maternal, they're kind of watching out for themselves maybe a little bit more, because they're having to watch out for their family, and they have to keep themselves up a little bit better so that they can, make sure that the family's taken care of, although sometimes we do neglect ourselves. But the thing with men, do you think if men were looking at themselves in, let's say, in respect to what their value is to the other people in their lives, to their family, to their friends, to their coworkers, and do you think they would maybe psychological in terms of dealing with the issues?
Well, it's hard for most men because they may not have had great influences in their lives to basically let them know this. If you're going, when you get a certain age, this might happen to you, and this is what you do with it. They don't get those kind of conversations. And so being that they don't get those kind of conversations, they may not understand it when their significant other, wife, girlfriend, whatever, is trying to talk to them about it.
So is it that, you know, they usually wait until a crisis mode to do something about it? Or and how do we prevent that from happening?
You have to have the conversation. I mean, that's the toughest thing for most people to have is the conversation about I'm not feeling myself. If you remember, probably I'm 51 now, but in my time, in my young years, when a man turned 40, everybody, you know, women, they say changing of life. Men have what they call crisis. So they would buy a sports car or they look for a young lady to accompany with. But really, reality come to now is those things are not going to improve you. I mean, might in the temporary mode, but at long term, you actually need to go see a hormone doctor and get your hormones checked and see where you are.
Okay. So, let me ask you this: do you find that doctors, the ones you may be aware of, do you think that they are trained to ask certain questions to test for certain things, or do we have to ask our men to go ask for these tests?
Oh, you have to ask for it because, you know, if you're going, let's say you go for your physical, they're going to test the basic stuff, making sure your readings are good, blood pressure. They may do an A1C, and if not, you should ask. But if you don't ask, they're not going to do anything extra. I mean, I've known in cases because I've been in this business of fitness for about 26, 27 years now, and most people have gone to the doctor, and the doctor's pretty much shown. Like, I used to tell women when you were 35, 36, go get a hormone panel done. Mm-hmm. So when you do start feeling a certain way, you'll know where your peak numbers were so you don't get experimented on. And it really is the same thing with men. The first sign of it, usually probably by age 35, 40 for men, they should get their hormones checked because now you have a baseline of where you're at when you're feeling good, at your optimal. But if you wait till you drop, then it becomes an experiment and a lot of blood work to try to make sure that your numbers get into the range that they feel you should be optimal at.
Okay, so now you've got some people some guys that are going to be out there saying, I mean, they're already feeling like, I guess they're tired, they're spent, whatever, and they're just going to say, that just sounds like too much work. You know?
In actuality, it's not. What you want to do, you want to feel bad or you want to feel good? Let's put it in layman's terms. If you're feeling good, great. But we all know in these days and time, I usually say it like this right here, women hit a second gear. Men, the only way they're going to hit a second gear is they go and talk to someone about it who understands hormones, not just your regular practitioner.
Okay, so who talks to the man about taking the next step? Because a lot of times, if it's coming from the woman, a lot of times it's going in one ear out the other, or doesn't even there's almost a block before it even gets into one of the ears.
Yeah.
So who do they listen? Do the men listen to?
Well, more people like me because I get the phone calls. And I give them a suggestion. I mean, I've had several people this year, and people could email me if they want to know more information. But I set them up with a place. They go to give their blood work. They consult with them, and they find out what their need is, what is missing, where you are. And then every 3 months they get their blood work done to see if they're still going in the right direction, or if they're going in the wrong direction, they'll adjust everything.
So So we're talking dad bods today because we want to just generate a little bit more awareness about what a dad bod is, what the perception of dad bods are, and what we should, you know, what can be done. You know, maybe there should be a new definition of a dad bod. Anyway, this is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We are talking with Marion Trainor, and we'll be right back. We're not taking calls today, but we'll be right back.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, TGIF. It's a wonderful weekend this weekend. It's Juneteenth, and it's also Father's Day. And we wanted to get a little bit more insight on the dad bod, so we are talking with Marion Trainor. And so, Marion, let's break this down, because we talked about mainly the midsection. And, you know, is there a way, I guess, to reduce some of what's going on in that midsection? Because I understand there's, I guess, two types of fat, and one you can kind of reduce maybe with diet and exercise, but the other one might be a little tougher. Is that true?
Well, most people talk about the visceral fat. You know, that's the if we're going to use the term good or bad, that's the really bad one.
Okay.
Brown fat, you can have visceral fat. Brown fat is basically reacts with your metabolism, and the visceral fat sits behind layers behind the abdomen wall.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it goes into that as far as when you see somebody with a tummy, I mean, it could have inflammation, the poor eating habits, it really have a lot to do with it, because the poor eating habits could cause the inflammation in the stomach as well.
Okay. All right, so let's break some of that down. Drinking more water, helpful, hurtful. You know, you should drink 64 ounces a day. Does that actually do anything I know it does keep us hydrated, especially this time of year, but does it actually do anything with reducing fat?
Well, what water is going to do is definitely keep you hydrated. Also, water is going to keep you a little more full. So when you decide to, say, eat whether it's a burger or whatever you decide to eat, it will probably keep you it will have you fuller before just eating a burger and not having any water in your stomach. So it's going to expand. But with the water, your stomach won't expand. You'll just get enough in there that basically you got the taste of what you ate. And you don't have to, because, you know, we come in, especially people who have the motto that, you know, eat all your food.
Clean your plate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some people take that first.
Yeah. And you know, and I kind of, the thing, I guess what you have to do, you can clean your plate, but your plate just can't be all that full. Right?
Exactly. Well, handful of that.
Okay. All right. So now, another thing I heard about having more protein, especially in the morning. Is that a good thing? Not a good thing? Does that work?
That is going to depend on the individual themselves. I mean, you need a balance. Some will say 30% protein, 30% carbs, and then 15% to 20% fat. And the other nutrient most people forget is fiber, and it is a nutrient.
Okay.
It is not a laxative. People out there in the know, fiber is not.
Okay. Yeah, because I think most people think of it that way. Oh, I need to go run and get some more fiber. The thing is, you need to have a little water with that fiber. needs to have some help to help the other parts, you know. So anyway, you were talking about one of the things you mentioned. You were saying 30% protein, but you also mentioned carbs. And we tend to think carbs are a bad word. Can we break down the explanation for the carbs? There's good and bad carbs. There's a way to ingest the carbs and where we should be getting our carbs from.
All right. There's three types of carbs. You got complex, fibrous, and simple. Simple is sugar, like fruit. Fibrous are your vegetables, which most people don't. I've heard people say, oh, I don't like vegetables. You have complex, rice, baked potato, and pasta. Those are the ones, and that those type of carbs are based on timing. And my advice to most people is that do not go zero carbs. Put the good fats in there, like avocado, MCT oil. What you'll do is train your body to use fat for energy, because your brain wants glucose. And that's where most people get in trouble, because the rice, because it gives an immediate response, and it's satisfying to the brain.
Okay.
And everything is about timing. Eating is timing. Now, my philosophy is you probably want to eat your biggest meals earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like doing a backwards. Everybody say, oh, eat a small breakfast, a modest lunch, and a big dinner. That should be the opposite.
Okay. So we eat breakfast, which we have called the most important meal of the day. Should that be the biggest meal of the day, or maybe lunch?
In my opinion, breakfast or lunch could be your biggest meal of the day, because some people get up in the morning and they don't want to eat breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I have said to people, well, drink it. You can drink your protein drink, and there are some protein drinks that might have, like, say, 3-4 grams of carbs, which are not bad because you're getting it in liquid form.
Mm-hmm.
And then lunch, have big lunch. But after 2:30, you should not be having rice. You shouldn't be having bread. You should not be having the pasta stuff at night, because when you lay down, and that's the biggest thing, is most people probably don't eat dinner at about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So
mm-hmm.
once they do that, you lay down, well, the digestive process stops,
mm-hmm.
which usually is the reason why people get up in the morning and they're not hungry.
Okay. So now, I mean, you mentioned something about not eating pasta after 2:30?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, because you know how we
break it.
Get together, we have these celebrations, and have the big dishes of the pasta with the meatballs and the meat sauce and the linguine and the clam, you know, all of that. And that is usually that late dinner, I guess you could say. So we need to kind of bump that up and do like maybe some weekend lunches or something like that, maybe?
Well, if you're going to, and I know it's almost insulting to go to a get-together and people have all this carbs and stuff and expecting you to eat it, but you can work around that. And if I were to say work around that, get you some Benefiber packets. So if you're going to eat a little bit of the macaroni and cheese, or if you're going to eat a little bit of the little pasta salad, sprinkle that on it, because it has no taste, and the fiber will cut off most of the damage that eating carbs that late will do.
Really? So what is it called again?
Benefiber.
Oh, the
clear,
Benefiber.
It has no taste.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes on the taste of whatever you put in.
Really? Okay. All right. Yeah, because it is kind of hard. You know, the people that care, you know, there are certain places I go and I know, okay, the diet or a meal plan or whatever is pretty much out of the window if I'm here. But you know, so I try to do the stuff like, you know, making sure that they bring water so that I have water, you know, ahead of time, or actually during, you know, where I'm making sure that I'm constantly sipping on the water, which is, for me, it's difficult. I'm just not a big water drinker. I'm getting better. I mean, my biggest time for drinking water is at the gym. And speaking of the gym, I wanted to ask you, you were talking about sometimes people don't feel like eating in the morning. And I've heard conflicting information about whether or not you should eat before you go to the gym, and also eating within a certain amount of time when you wake up. You know, like I've heard that you should eat at least within 2 hours of the time that you wake up. That's one of the things I heard. I heard also you should maybe eat some sort of protein like 45 minutes before you go to the gym, and other stuff, which all of those are they kind of work against my schedule because it's like I'm not getting up 45 minutes before going to the gym. I'm getting up and I'm out the door probably within 15 minutes of waking up to go to the gym. So, but what do you have a proposed routine? Because we know everything doesn't work for everybody, but do you have a proposed routine that people could kind of get started on incorporating into their schedule?
This is what I would say, and this is where the assessment comes in and consultations come with me, because everybody's different. Like you're saying it's difficult for you to do, my thing would be, okay, if you're going to the gym, and instead of maybe 45 minutes, 20 minutes before, drink you a protein drink. Get on the treadmill for 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, and you'll have your 40 to 45 minutes before you work out. Because basically what you're trying to do is create – you're trying to create an energy production where your body has enough energy to make it through the workout. Some people like going fasted to the gym, like they'll fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on how you are as a person. Now, if you're not the person who's understanding what fasting does and you go to the gym and you start feeling lethargic or feeling like you're about to pass out, then you need to eat something. But some people can do it and it doesn't bother them. So every individual is different, which is why you're either going to read about it or you're going to consult with a trainer like myself and say, let's find the best way, what works for you.
Okay. All right. So now men and women, their metabolism is a little bit differently. So does one routine work better for a man than a woman, or is it still just an individual thing regardless of whether you're a man or a woman?
It depends on their fitness level. I mean, I know some women who have lower body fat than men, or they burn more calories quicker than men. It depends on where your fitness level is.
Okay. All right. So, before we do that, so I want to ask you this then. We get through with the gym, and I know one of the things I see at some of these gyms are all of these products. Okay, where it's their powders or their other things, you know, bars or whatever the thing is. What's good about them and what's not? How do we choose which products are best for us? You know, I mean, because some of them have, I would say, extra stuff that we don't need. For example, my understanding, and I know I'm getting a little bit off track, but my understanding is, for example, these new veggie burgers or, you know, produce-based burgers have they don't have meat, but they have so much fat to hold them together to look like a burger that they almost defeat the purpose, okay? So when you tell me to do something, and this is just me, that I perceive as artificial, for example, a powder or a bar that's made up of stuff that I probably wouldn't normally eat or whatever, I guess I want to know, how do I determine which of these products is good for me and which of these products may just be a waste of money and time?
Well, to determine what product is good, I have to know what's your goal. Like if we're talking about protein bars, I could say there's a few out there that are good, but you have to read the ingredients on them, and some of it's by trial and error. But there are some out there that are like the Detour bar was really good. It's another one, it's Muscle Sandwich. It looks like a graham cracker with actual peanut butter on it. So it depends on what your taste buds is like, and that's been the biggest thing with most people. I mean, some of these bars, they're not going to be like eating a Snicker bar. Some of them are going to feel like you are.
Mm-hmm. So so a lot of it's based on taste. Shouldn't we, though, work on maybe if we're trying to do something that's beneficial for us in the long term, should we maybe look at things like modifying our taste, you know, buds maybe a little bit, or what we consider to be good?
And it really is so difficult because every individual is so different. Like, I have mm-hmm. met someone who did 3 protein shakes in 1 meal a day and got great results. I've also
okay.
met someone say, I don't eat drinks. Okay, so are you willing to eat regular food? Then let's try a bar. I would even go as far as to say the Kind bars because it's basically fruit and nuts. The goal is to try to
get your what?
Get your body as much nutrients that your body need as possible and not starving it. Because if the body recognizes that you're starving it, you can eat a salad all day, but it's going to hold on to it in fat storage.
Okay. All right. So we're going to take another break. When we come back with Marianne Traynor, I'm going to ask you a little bit about what do you look for when you are selecting a trainer? So anyway, we will be right back. We're here with Marianne Traynor, and this is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we'll be back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Good afternoon, happy Friday, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are celebrating dads, and we're trying to get a little bit more insight into the dad bod and wanting to find out whether it's a good thing or bad thing and you know, try to just get a little perspective on it. We're here with Marianne Traynor. And so we need to look at who we select and how we select the people that are going to assist us on our well-being journey when it comes to getting our bodies in, you know, shape, in, you know, healthy shape. Let's just say healthy shape. Because, you know, I part of me just does not necessarily want to promote the dad bod thing because it just, you know, whether it's good or bad, it just seems to have connotations, you know. We want our, in whatever the case may be, we want our dads to be healthy, right? Okay.
That's correct.
All right. So how do we select that person that's going to be with us to help us on that journey?
You're going to have to choose someone. It may call for having consultations, like interviewing the trainer and see if y'all personality meshes and see what their knowledge is based on what you're looking for. Because at the end of the day, you want someone to be like, okay, this is going to be our plan. Not someone say, okay, we're going to start some exercise, 1, 2, 3, 4, good job, come back next time, we'll get ready. You want somebody who's going to care, like, what is your nutrition like? How are you eating? Like me, I tell people to give me a 3-day log of how you're eating. Then we can assess that and say, okay, this is probably why you're not making no results. The training part is easy, but you can never out-train a good diet, a good nutrition plan. You can never out-train a bad diet, put it that way.
So I guess, you know, let's say we're looking at weight loss in, I guess, toning and firming and stuff like that. How much of it is diet? How much of it is exercise, or is there a certain point where you do more exercise than diet, and then more diet than exercise, or how does that work?
It's a combination of both. It's honestly, if me just giving my own assessment of it, it's about 30% training, 70% diet. And the key to it all is showing up and being consistent. And that's where the problem most people run in at, because they get impatient. Why am I not making the results? It's been like 3 weeks. And you want to ask the question, did you get this way in 3 weeks?
Like that Rome wasn't built in a day thing, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, and I am kind of one of those people, it's interesting. When I go to the gym, because I do try to make it a gym at least 5 days a week. It used to be a minimum of three. I try to do five. I haven't seen really much of a difference. But, you know, in a way, though, I do feel a little healthier. So even though it may not be visible, I feel like there may be something going on, something changed. I do feel, let's say, a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit more alert by going. But at the same time, I'm not one of those people that wants to spend like 2 hours, you know, on a gym machine or something like that. I don't go ahead. I'm sorry, please.
I would say I would spend 2 hours, and I've been working out for 35 years.
Okay.
You're not going to get it all in one day. Your body, go in, get your little cardio move, little resistance, and go home and eat something so you can prepare and get good rest.
What would you say a good average time? I know some days, you know, depending on schedule, you may do more or you may do less. What do you say is a good average time in terms of how many days per week and how much time per day?
If you're going to say, it depends on the body parts, if they're broken up and how a weight regimen is designed for you, I would probably say 20, 30 minutes, whether it's a treadmill, elliptical, some form of cardio, and about 30 minutes of actual training.
Okay. All right. So I guess I need to do more in terms of weights. All right. So let me talk a little bit. Let me go through stages too with regards to dads and dad bods. Because you got young dads, you got, you know, middle aged dads, you even have some older dads. But like you're saying, there are hormonal changes. There are also differences in regimen in terms of, you know, the time you spend with your kids, how active your kids are, how involved you are with your kids if you have younger kids. If you've gone through that phase and, you know, you're just, you know, getting to that point where you want to chill a little bit more, but you still need to be healthy. So can you talk about, I guess, maybe transitioning through those stages and what you should be doing?
If you're trying to get back in better shape, just take it one day at a time. And I would tell anybody, if you've been out for a long time, go twice a week. Start off just twice a week. Even if you're just doing cardio, if you do 20, 30 minutes of cardio and you're not ready for the actual strength training, do it and then leave. Do that for about 4 weeks, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to build up a habit. And once you build a habit of going to the gym, and a sidebar note to let people know, when you're going to the gym, you should not be concerned if other people are looking at you, because they're in there for the same reason you are in, to make progress. So my thing is, if you take it one day at a time and not overwhelm yourself with, oh, I got to get this body I once had, just take it one day at a time and it will come.
So have you had any clients that you have let go because they weren't necessarily serious about what they were doing, or there was just some sort of conflict? I mean, we're talking about interviewing trainers, but I mean, you may have somebody that wants you, but you don't work with them. Maybe are there any like rules, hard and fast rules that trainers have in terms of dealing with customers?
Yeah, you have to give us 24-hour notice in advance if you're going to miss. My thing is, if you miss 3 times consecutively and keep giving me an excuse, I'm going to tell you I'm not the right fit for you.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. So starting with okay, because I wanted to get that in because, you know, it's about taking everybody's time seriously. You know, you're mm-hmm. Allotting for a certain amount of time to help that person be better, you know, and so they have to respect your time and vice versa. So I was just curious in terms of things that might occur because people think, well, I'm paying my money, da da da. But no, it's more than that. It's a matter of having that mutual respect, you know, and working together, you know, toward a common goal and not wasting each other's time. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you say, everybody's personality.
So I want to ask you, it's about the middle of the year now. You had mm-hmm. people with those New Year's resolutions. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the drop-off with that? What do you see? Who sticks with it and why and who drops off and why? And percentage, I guess, from what you can observe between men and women and why it happens.
Well, for one, people's motivation wanes. People now are a little more motivated than in the past. Like they'll look at, say something pops up on Instagram and they see somebody working out that looks real good. They're like, oh, I'm going to the gym. But what they don't realize is that person who they're seeing on Instagram had to start somewhere also. And the time and patience is what I preach all the time, is that it's not going to happen overnight. The drop off from the New Year's resolution usually was around, they make it in January, around the end of February, they stop. Beginning of March. Now it's extending a little bit to April, and now people are in this panic because June is coming. Well, June is here now, and they want to have a bathing suit body, men and women. And it didn't work out the way they wanted to, so people are going to start extreme dieting, which is definitely not healthy. Time, especially the way I explain it to people. If you've never done anything, let's start off twice a week. Let's build you a habit. And I've done virtual training as well, and I do – so, like, I do offer workouts that I'll email to you. You follow them, and I have a workout that you can do 3-4 rounds in around 15 minutes, and you're going to feel like you got, like, a 45-minute workout. So it's based on creativity and what your mind is and the time and patience, and you have to be with someone who can explain to you that this will not happen overnight. And once we get that out of the way, then we can work on – we can work on, okay, your progress.
We're going to take our final break. We are here with Marianne Trainor, who is helping us get, some perspective on health and fitness, especially for dads in the era of the new dad bod part of that COVID mindset. Anyway, this is Dee's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Got a big weekend going on with Juneteenth and with Father's Day, and we want to talk about dads and celebrate dad and understand a little bit more about the dad bot with Marion Trainer. He's on with us. And like I said, it is a big weekend coming up, a lot of celebrating. How do we, you know, get our dads to kind of keep themselves in check?
Yeah. One of the things that also do, and I offer an e-cook recipe book that are simple meals is done in 30 minutes. And to also get people to understand, and one of my motto is you have to educate to participate. I have a course, and you can take the course. It's a 12-module course, and it's like onboard101.com/Marion Trainer. And it kind of gives you the understanding, and it's videoed, and it's also in writing where you can read along with it as well, just to give you insight on how to get started. Because at some point, people are going to have to take this more serious than this, just because I could tell you anything when you're in front of me, but once you leave me, are you going to remember it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So, and that's the key, you know, it's like you have a brief conversation, but you want it to kind of stick. You want to say, okay, I heard that. What's the next step? And so it's mm-hmm. it's good to have that information. And so I will probably post that information on the Geese Power Hour Facebook page. It is the tough season, you know, the cookouts and all that type of stuff. And there's also that tendency to want to be, I guess, a little bit more carnivorous. Is that a good thing? You talked about balancing that, and sometimes that balance goes, that 30% creeps up more and more of that protein, that meat and whatever. How do we get, I guess, the other portions of the meal to be more attractive to our carnivorous friends and family?
Well, as far as, I mean, and I know it's the battle between a carnivore and a vegan. And
mm-hmm.
if you break them up, this is just my philosophy and my opinion. I'm not swayed by one side more than the other. It is a combination that what works for the individual. A lot of people have gone vegan because they've gone through some health issues. And they figure
mm-hmm.
that the meat consumption, and a lot of times the meat consumption is without vegetables, which is a carb,
mm-hmm.
fibers, which helps you break down food. Well, if you're only a meat eater and a potato eater, well, it's going to be very hard. It's just like with a vegan. There are protein sources, tofu, and nowadays, which I've tried them on both ends, they make some great protein tofu that tastes wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It is if you want to do a little bit of research, and now they have those sections in the stores, the grocery stores. This is the vegan aisle, and they have little stuff. You just have to try it. The thing of it is, it just depends on where you are. If you are carnivore, it is going to probably be tough for you. Let's just hope you don't have any health conditions that will make you have to either lessen your consumption or cold turkey stop it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is trying to get people to understand that you may have to stop at cold turkey at some point if you have a health crisis. Better to try mm-hmm. to go ahead and just do the gradual reducing of certain parts of your diet now. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe if you do. And probably if you're a carnivore, there's probably more. But if you're doing a burger every week, maybe just one weekend a month or something like that, do something else, something different, you know, just
mm-hmm.
to kind of gradually take that down, you know, and incorporate new stuff in your diet. So you'll be, whenever that health crisis, God forbid, whenever it happens, you'll be more accustomed to having other alternatives in your diet, and it won't be such a hard switch.
Absolutely. Again, it's about educate to participate. If you educate yourself just a little and don't be closed off to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a lot of times what people battle with.
Yeah. I think that is the biggest battle. I think people get into a comfort zone and – change for some people is a bad word, mm-hmm. and it shouldn't be, because change should actually be opening yourself up to other opportunities, other possibilities that you might actually like. I had somebody to give me a plaque one time that said, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today, because if you like it well enough today, you might want to do it again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I want to find out how long does it actually take? Let's give people, I guess, a guide of some sort. How long does it actually take if you are putting in the work? You know, and you're starting the gym twice a week, you know, and you're adding, you know, different routines, and you're adding more days, and you're drinking more water, and you're gradually changing the diet, maybe weaning off some stuff like sugar, mm-hmm. and other things. How soon can someone usually expect to see some sort of difference, and how does it manifest itself? Is it the weight on the scale? Is it the size of the pants? What is usually the first noticeable thing if people are doing what they're supposed to do?
I'm big on the inches. The scale might say, let's say after a month, the scale might say you only lost 3 pounds or you only lost 5 pounds. But mm-hmm. in technical reality, you might have put on 3 or 4 pounds of lean muscle tissue.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think that the scale can frustrate people. I would say give yourself at least 3 months. I have a program where I would tell people, okay, this is what we're going to do 5 days during the week. And on the weekends, you can treat yourself. And we do a combination of that. And once the 90-day mark hits, you're not going to feel so overwhelmed because I'm not putting you on strict 7 days a week. We're giving your body a break. And again, when I talk about that secret weapon, which is fiber, and people need to understand mm-hmm. that, and I repeat again, fiber is not a laxative.
Mm-hmm.
But what fiber does is gives you the sense of feeling full. It also doesn't let food that the body don't use just sit on you.
I have a question about the fiber thing, sort of. Oatmeal, fiber, yes, yeah. No?
It's some fiber in it. It's usually around about maybe one. It depends on what oatmeal you get. It has about one, because you have soluble and insoluble. And usually it's anywhere between 1 to 3 grams, which is good. But you have to – what I've learned, and that especially from being a kidney transplant patient, that I read this book called No Sugar. And what mm-hmm. it is, say we eat something that has 10 grams of sugar in it. Well, you should be having 11 grams of fiber. Recommended daily allowance is about 25 to 30 for women and about 30 to 40 for men a day.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't get anywhere near that, but if they did, they'd realize they wouldn't have a lot of unwanted weight on them.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm asking about oatmeal, because my mom used to always say, yeah, you should eat oatmeal, it sticks to your ribs and da-da-da, whatever. But I find, for me, I can eat oatmeal and be probably hungry about an hour after I'm eating it. Also, I understand that. What's that?
Pour the fiber over it. Remember I told you the packet of Beneficent fiber? It's 3 grams.
Okay.
And if you got 3 grams in oatmeal, you got 6 grams of fiber. You'll stay full a little longer.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good thing to know. The other thing I understand, too, with regards to oatmeal, that these packets of instant oatmeal are
mm-hmm.
not what you should be going toward, that you should be going toward like the old-fashioned oats. Yeah, they take a little longer maybe to cook or whatever, but there's a way to work around that. But the old-fashioned oats are the ones that actually have more of the fiber that the instant packets of oatmeal contain probably more sugar than you should have and not enough fiber. Is that correct?
It depends on what brand of instant oatmeal you get. Like I'm looking at
okay.
one now called Better Oats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cinnamon roll flavor, and it has 3 grams of fiber and only 1 gram of sugar.
Okay.
Moral of this story is read the ingredient, thing you, mm-hmm. you get. There's no one thing better than the other. It's what's in it.
All right. What about oatmeal cookies?
This is the way I would tell anybody. Nothing is bad. I don't tell you to give up anything. We're just going to reroute the way you do it.
Okay. All right, perfect.
So if you're, and like I say, I treat everybody different as an individual. So let's just say you like oatmeal cookies. Well, I'm probably going to say, well, every third day you can have two oatmeal cookies. That's not going to mess up your results.
Okay. All right. So do you have any last words before we go for our wonderful fathers out there in terms of, I guess, making that dad bod a little bit more healthy?
Don't let this be the last chapter of your life. When you look at yourself, don't look at yourself in a way that you think, gosh, I don't look the way I did when I was 25. Well, none of us will, but you can be a better version of yourself. Give out, but don't give up. And if you need help, seek a trainer out, even if you have, even online. I even do online. You can go to marriagetrainer.com and set up a consultation, and I can walk you through what you're trying to do and keep it in simplistic terms and methods.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. And also, what is that other site that you mentioned? You mentioned earlier about, I think it has a YouTube connection to it.
Well, this is what I sent. I actually sent it to you also. It's onboard.
Okay, good.
101.
Onboard.
.com.
Okay.
Yeah, onboard101.com/Marion Trainer. And I also sent you, where they could, you can go to MarionTrainer.com and click on shop in the recipe book. It's an ebook that will come up. Once you buy it, you can download it and you can take it to your local Kinko's if you want like a extra hard copy of it.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. Really appreciate it. And I am going to post the information that you sent because I want to make sure that while dads are reflecting on their roles with their family, that they're also taking into account that they need to do a little bit more work to make sure that they're there for their families for the long haul.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Really appreciate you taking the time.
So.
Have a blessed weekend.
You do the same. Yeah. Everyone take care.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am G. Thanks for being with us. We'll have more dad stories next week. And be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.